the genius and wordsmith C.S. Lewis, had a brilliant mind. He also had a vivid imagination. He could paint a picture with words. One such picture was a picture of a demonic debate. The undersecretary of the dark side, Screwtape, senior in position, teaching the naive junior demon, Wormwood. The lesson concerns the mind, particularly the battle for the mind. Keep the mortals in extremes. Keep the mortals worrying, fearful. Or keep the mortals huddled in little corners, focused on the petty. And this is what he said. It's funny how mortals picture us as putting things into their minds. In reality, our best work is done by keeping them out. C.H. Spurgeon said, whatever a man depends upon, whatever rules his mind, whatever governs his affections, whatever is the chief object of his delight is his God. So C.S. Lewis was right in depicting this scene. It's what you keep out. Keep out of your mind the light. Keep out of your mind the truth. Keep out of your mind God's holy word. Keep out of your mind any preoccupation with the Son of God. You know that little poem? I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather someone walk with me than merely point the way. You see, my eyes are better pupils, far more willing than my ears. Fine counsel, it's confusing, but example is always clear. The best of all the Christians, the best of all the preachers, are the ones who live their creed. To see our faith in action, that's what the people need, for we might misunderstand all the fine advice you give. But we won't misunderstand how you act and how you live. Actually, that is a biblical principle. When the Apostle Paul wrote his epistles, he would start with Christian doctrine. And then he would turn to Christian duty. He would start with belief and then turn to behavior. He would then start with creed and then turn to conduct. And that's precisely what he's done here in the book of Colossians. He has taught us the great doctrinal truths of the preeminence of Christ, of his deity, of his all-sufficiency, of the fact that he is all we need for time and for eternity. And all that matters is that we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. Now we begin the practical part, the behavior part, the conduct. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affections or set your mind on things above, not on things upon the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. The mind matters. Number one, our position. Number two, our progression. Number three, our promotion. Number one, our position. Let's read it. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Here is our position as true believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those believers there in the Lycus Valley who knew that Christ in them was the hope of glory. Their position was they were risen with Christ. They were hidden in Christ. You see, the Bible makes it plain that we are alive in different dimensions. Before you became a Christian, you had no thought of God, no interest in his word, no time for prayer, no longings for holiness, no desires to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, no interest in growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then one day, what happened? You heard with the outward ear the message of the gospel. And with the inward ear, the Holy Spirit brought conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. And you were quickened and you were awakened. And you were born again. And you were risen to a new life in Christ. And the Apostle Paul has already spelled that out to us last week. And he used the vivid picture of baptism. We've died with Christ. We're buried with Christ. We're risen with Christ. And so though we are here on earth, still in our minds and in our hearts, we're in a different dimension. Once you didn't want to pray, now you want to. Once you weren't interested in the word of God, now you're consumed with it. You had no desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control and faith. And now you long for that. In fact, the whole Bible makes it plain to you and I that when we really know God, though we are here on earth, we are citizens of heaven. That's why when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's why when Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, we are citizens of heaven. So we're risen with Christ. We're in union with Christ, in union with his life, in union with his death, in union with his burial, in union with his resurrection. So let me ask you, are you truly in union with him? Have you been born again? Have you been raised to newness of life in Christ? Not only so, we're hidden with or in Christ. The world cannot see it. All they see is flesh and blood. Thankfully, they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. But you remember what John Newton said? Behold him there, the risen Lamb, our perfect, spotless righteousness, the great, unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with my Lord, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. We're hidden with Christ. We're safe in Christ. We're in his hand, and none shall pluck us from his hand. We're in the hand of Jesus, who's in the hand of the Father, sealed by the Holy Spirit, safe for time and for eternity. And that's our position. And though we struggle with the world and the flesh and the devil and with life. Nevertheless, our true position is that we're risen with Christ and hidden in Christ. Number two, we're told here of our progression, of how we progress in the things of God, of how we put this dimension and make it a practical application for our daily lives. Look what it says. If you then are risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Here's how we progress. First of all, we seek. Seek then those things which are above. You see, that's what makes a true Christian different from men and women in the world, and different from counterfeit false gospel peddlers. You see, the average man or woman seeks first things such as fashion, or power, or money, or career, or fame, or popularity, or education, or entertainment. They're the things that they seek after. Remember what our Lord Jesus Christ said. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It was in the context of a sermon about worry, about all the concerns that the world can pile in upon us. Jesus said, seek first and foremost, seek his kingdom. Seek to have him as king of your life, as ruler of your life, of your ambitions, of your affections, of your thoughts, of your dreams, of your hopes, of your relationships. Seek him first. Actually, there is a very, very beautiful and old hymn. It was written by Georgina Mary Taylor. And some of you with silver hair will remember this well. And those of you who are younger, listen to this. She wrote, seek first, not earthly pleasure, fading joy, or failing treasure, but the love that knows no measure. Seek this first. Seek ye first. Seek ye first God's peace and blessing. You have all, if this possessing. Come your need and sin confessing. Seek him first. Seek him first. Seek him first, then when forgiven, pardon made an heir of heaven, let your life to him be given. Seek this first. Seek this first, to be pure and holy, like the master, meek and lowly, yielded to his service wholly. Seek this first. Seek this first, his promise trying. It is sure, all need supplying, heavenly things on him relying. Seek him first. Why? You are risen with him. He is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And we are seated with him in heavenly places. We've died to our old life. We're in a new life now. And Christ is now our life. He is our life. He is our all in all. Not only seek those things which are above, but set your mind on things above. The real battle in the Christian life is the battle for the mind. If you're a young Christian or an older Christian, it is the same for all of us. The mind races at times, doesn't it? The mind plays tricks at times, doesn't it? If you and I don't discipline our minds, if you and I don't subject our minds and our thoughts to a biblical framework, you and I are going to be in real danger. What did the Apostle Paul say when writing to the Ephesians? He said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places." What did he tell us to do? To put on the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of gospel peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the weapon of all prayer. But then he says, remember, and the helmet of salvation. Because if we don't put the helmet of salvation upon us, and if we don't allow the Bible and the truths of God's word to saturate our minds, we will be in trouble. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." What did the Apostle Peter say? "Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober." Picture someone in a long gown. This is old-fashioned language, isn't it? What they used to do if they wanted to run freely was pick up their gown, stick it in their girdle, gird it up, and then they would be free to run. "Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and be watchful." Later on, the Apostle Peter will say, "Be serious-minded. For your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeks whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." And what did the Apostle Paul write to the Philippians? To those who were really anxious. He said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." And then he spelt it out, what that means. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. And we shall find, as Isaiah wrote, under the inspiration of God, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. For we trust in him." And part of the practical daily discipline of a believer's life, in realizing the position that he has or she has in Christ, risen with him, hidden with him, if we want to see real progress, real development, then we're to seek, we're to pursue, we're to be passionate about this thinking on those things which are above, where Christ is, dwelling our mind on him, upon the teachings of his word, setting our minds on things above, rehearsing and repeating those texts into our minds every single day without fail as a discipline, so that we can make real progress. Ask the oldest, long in the tooth, serious Christian here. This is where every Christian battle is won or lost. Every battle, without exception. Seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above. How? What did David say? I will hide your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. What did he write? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. By keeping of them there is great reward. Set your mind upon the things of God. Discipline your mind to think biblically. It's the way to make progress. Number three, we're told of our promotion. Listen to what Paul writes. If you then be raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The New Testament teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ will appear from heaven. The heavens will be rolled back as a curtain. The invasion army of King Jesus will come. He will come with 10,000 of his saints. Every eye shall see him. Every knee shall bow to him. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we shall see him. We shall be caught up to meet him in the air. That's what the Bible tells us. And seeing him, we shall be changed into his likeness. We shall appear with him in glory. We're going to be promoted to glory. We're going to be promoted to being like Christ. There isn't a man or woman in this room who doesn't struggle in their Christian life. You struggle with wrong thoughts and wrong words and wrong attitudes and wrong motives and bad habits and bad relationships and poor outlooks. You struggle with the world and the flesh and the devil. If the Apostle Paul could say, the good that I want to do, I don't do. That which I don't want to do, I do do. Oh, wretched man that I am, you better come down off your self-righteous pedestal. There is none righteous, no, not one. And the devil will race after us, biting at our heels till the very day our eyelids close in death. This is a lifelong battle. But listen, when Christ, who is our life, appears, the whole creation will reverberate with his glory. The blast of the trumpet, the voice of the Lord. Then this mortal shall put on immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. What a wonderful day that is going to be. No more heavy sighs or broken hearts or shattered dreams. No more battles with the world, the flesh, and the devil and people. With Christ. Like Christ. Favorite quote of all time, John Trapp. Think to yourself, though it be far beyond the reach of any mortal thought, what an inexplicable glory it will be to gaze upon the glorious body of our Lord Jesus Christ and to think that every vein of that blessed body bled to bring you to glory. Think that would be far beyond the reach of any of our thoughts, that this vile body will be advanced and honored above that of the brightest cherub. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory. Be glory for me. And John the Apostle said, everyone who has this hope within him purifies himself, even as Christ is pure. As we shall find out, God willing, next week. Let's stand and sing.